This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I would just say at the end of this, I still sit up and I'm still thankful. You know, I came out of this season pretty healthy and I got to represent the blue and white. And before I even got drafted, that's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted to rep the blue and white and rep the stars. So I'm beyond fantastic. But, you know, obviously I got to get some new goals and things and get ready for next year.
What did you think of Micah's game, Choppy?
I thought he played well. I mean.
10 tackles, 3 solo, 1 tackle for loss, and nobody sacked Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I wish they would have gotten to him more, but. You know, he got rid of the ball quick oftentimes, and when he didn't, he was able to shuffle within the pocket. I thought Micah played fine. I didn't think there was a problem. I didn't think I had a problem in this game.
Let's bring in Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Was at the stadium, and I was on the phone with Bobby multiple times late last night as he was digging as our new Cowboys insider here on Sean and RJ.
Wait, you picked up, you were on, like, talking on the phone?
Yeah.
Whoa! Jesus. New Year's resolution.
I know. Bobby, you should feel special. I don't like to talk on the phone whatsoever.
I know. I got you like 3 times.
Yeah.
But you also, I didn't get you the first time I called, and then I had to text you and say, you're going to want to get on the phone, and
yeah.
Then you got on the phone.
I need that type of tease. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to, you know, give you a little bit of a tease there and get you interested.
What?
You know, there's got to be a little, you know, interest.
Little meat on the bone.
Yeah, exactly.
Little beef rib left on the bone. What?
Yes, sir.
What happened in that game?
Boy, it was a lot of what we talked about, right? I mean, there was a lot of physicality. There was these issues stopping the run game. There was issues, you know, being able to respond to what Kyle Shanahan likes to do with some of the eye candy. I thought the defense played well in the middle of the game. Like, I thought the opening drive was terrible. They had 7 plays, and it was 6 first downs. It was just awful. It's part of the reason why I wanted to get the ball to start the game. I thought when they won the toss and deferred, I thought that was a bad idea. I thought you should have come out and tried to establish things. But 6 first downs in the first 7 plays, and then late, obviously, you weren't able to stop Debo. But in between, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job. I think that between from the second drive on through up to, like, the fourth quarter, I think San Francisco had averaged like 2.8 yards per carry. And so they had done a good job for the most part. They hadn't allowed any other touchdowns. You know, it looked like the defense was settling in. The offense was terrible. And it's coaching malpractice that Tony Pollard had 1 drive where he touched the ball through the first 3 quarters.
Wow.
And I think that the offensive line was really bad. I think we've got to come to terms with the fact that Tyron Smith just isn't an elite left tackle anymore.
Mm.
You know, I think that he's good. I think that he's, you know, it's in a league that's full of bad offensive linemen. He's probably still top 5 or something like that. But he's not a guy that you can count on to dominate his opponent anymore. He was having trouble blocking Charles Omenihu,
yeah,
who the Texans shipped out. And so, you know, just a lot of bad preparation, a lot of questionable play calling, and a lot of terrible execution. It was just, you know, it was exactly the type of problems you were worried about.
What happened with the delay of game after the fake punt and your perspective and what they were saying on the final play of the game?
So on the delay of game, I thought that was just stupid. Like, you were trying to do the Arizona Cardinals bit.
That happened. That was an ego thing. That happened because Kingsbury made us look foolish. Just give props. And we tried to steal that from what Arizona did to us, right?
Yeah, it's like when, you know, Philly hits the Philly special and then New England tries to do it like the next quarter. Yes. Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. It's like, you know, and so I think that that was a bad call. Obviously, there were some things there that I don't think the officiating crew got exactly right in terms of, you know, holding the play call and everything else. But, you know, that you cost yourself 40 seconds in the fourth quarter because of trying to get cute like that instead of just going out there and executing.
And 5 yards.
Yeah, exactly. And 5 yards. And then I think that at the end of the game, you know, there was a lot of talk about the referees bumping into him and, you know, how guys thought there should have been a second left on the clock. There absolutely should not have been a second left on the clock, by the way. I just think that was a foolish call. You know, Say that again. That it was a foolish call?
Yeah.
To run Dak up the middle? Yeah, I think it was a foolish call.
Why?
Because I don't think that you were going to have time to get set.
Okay.
He slid. You know, it has been done for years. You hit the ground. Players will lean on top of you, kind of sit on top. And then, you know, obviously not getting the ball back to the umpire who was, you know, way off in the field. It's just those are the type of things you have to account for.
Yeah.
And I just think it was silly to try and do that with 14 seconds left.
To me, like, you know, Romo was talking about there's plenty of time. And there probably was.
Well, he was wrong.
Well.
Nance got it right. But here's the thing.
Tony knows exactly, like, you know, how much time you need from the time you're down. You know, if things went according to how they should have gone, and they didn't because the referee was slow. But, I mean, it's also, like, we're really deep in the weeds here. You had 14 seconds left, a team playing sidelines, you had no timeouts. Your option was either stay in jail for the rest of your life or try to escape and get shot by the guard.
But you don't commit suicide. And that's what they did. They committed suicide by not getting one shot at the end zone. That's inexcusable. To say at the end of that, you're not going to get one throw up in the end zone, that's a failure.
That getting to the 25-30 yard line versus staying at the 40-something is a much better chance at the end zone.
Sure, but do it the way that NFL teams have always done it, which is hit a curl route, find a soft spot in the zone, something that takes 3 seconds that everybody can get right up and get set.
But
they didn't do that.
The passing play, would have taken just as long.
I don't think it would have. Dak slid down with 8 seconds left. I think you can get a pass play off in three.
So did it go from 14 to 9?
It went from 14 at the slide 14. Was at 9.
He went into a slide at 9. He didn't pop up off the ground till 8 or 7. And then you have to reset. And he was, because he was leaned on by the defender. I can't remember who the 49ers defender was, but they kind of leaned on top of him and kind of pushed up off of him. That's the way defenders have done that for years.
In my opinion, though, when you know, it's like getting to the airport. If you're gonna try to get to the airport 5 minutes or 10 minutes before final call for boarding, you deserve to miss the flight.
Sure.
And if you're going to cut, if you need 1 second, we're going to time this out. Our operation is going to be designed to leave 1 second. To me, that's bad planning. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. And I think that, you know, it was an impossibility anyway. You were going to have to get down the field in 30 seconds, go like 80 yards. It was a big, you know, it was a tall task to even ask them. But, I mean, they'd efficiently moved the ball down. I certainly don't hate the opportunity at a shot at the end zone from the 25-yard line. But, I mean, are we confident that in a play that you need to have a few seconds to get the ball downfield, are we confident they would have blocked the 49ers pass rush? I don't know, because they weren't doing it all night, whether Nick Bosa was in there or not. I mean, this was a fourth quarter where Nick Bosa wasn't in there.
Warner was
out of the game for a lot of it. This was a secondary. For all the bluster of the Cowboys defense feeling offended about, you know, all the talk of physicality, we talked down on the 49ers secondary pretty hard, and they came out and they punked the receivers a little bit and got up, you know, in their face and caused some issues for them. Your receivers should have been better yesterday. You should have won more routes. There should have been more separation. Your quarterback should have been better. It was just a complete letdown across the board, and I think that ultimately falls on, you know, the head coach.
Bobby Bell, Cowboys insider here on The Fan. Is McCarthy safe?
Am I going to have to do the Howard Eskin bit and kiss Choppy's butt? Because on Friday, I texted y'all, and I was like, he's 100% back. This is why are we even talking about this?
I said the same thing.
I think that after you talk to some people, I'll say this. I would lean towards he's still back. I think Stephen Jones is a big advocate for Mike McCarthy and believes in him and has a big say in what goes on here. But I will say that there are people inside the building, without identifying exactly what they even do there. But I think there are people inside the building who last night were talking like this could be the end of the road, that there are people there who think that this is it and that McCarthy will get fired this week. That doesn't mean that it's the majority, but that there are at least people who are there with the Cowboys who think that that's something that could happen this week. And if that happens, where do you go? Are you going to go try and get a big fish? Are you going to, see if Dan Quinn, who I think is on his way to Denver right now, are you going to try and see if he can, if you can keep him here and hire him as the head coach? I don't think Kellen's an option for them. I think that there's a lot of disappointment in the building about how Kellen did things in the second half of the season and how he was unable to respond to some of the issues with the two high safeties. But I think that if this job came open and you offered it to Dan Quinn, I think that he'd say, sorry, Denver, I'm sticking here in Dallas and I'm taking this job. But I know that there is a sense from more than one person. It's multiple people there who think it's a real possibility that Mike McCarthy gets fired this week.
Wow. Was Dak joking when he seemed to advocate or be fine with fans throwing stuff onto the field at the refs?
Sort of. I mean, sort of tongue in cheek, but I mean, I think that it was more the reporters were laughing at it. He didn't crack a smile when the reporters were laughing about it.
Yeah.
Like, here's the deal about yesterday with Dak. Dak has got to be better on the field. Dak's got to be better on the podium. Part of the reason why you kept Dak Prescott, what you believed in Dak Prescott. How many times have we heard for 5 years, and it's true, but how many times have we heard for 5-6 years that it's the intangibles, it's the leadership, it's everything like that with Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
And then he comes out there and talks like that at the podium and just takes no personal responsibility. I think that that's a big problem. And I got to give a shout out to one of the Tolos at Coach Kelton 417 who tweeted at you on Twitter where he said, Dak is a company guy. He repeats the message of his coach. Used to sound just like Garrett. Now he sounds like Mike. That's absolutely true. He's sounding more and more like Mike McCarthy. And when you get the way Dak talked like that and the way Leighton Vander Esch and Michael Gallup at different points of the season said, we have to, play against the refs just as much as we have to play against the other team. There's no accountability, it doesn't feel like, from the head coach. And, for a guy who got another coaching job because he talked about how he went back and he did some self-reflection.
Tricked us.
It seems like very little self-reflection being done when you lose these football games. There's a lot of looking to the exterior instead of saying, okay, what are we doing wrong? And I think ultimately, because you didn't internalize and look at what are we doing wrong and where are we failing to meet our standard, even in games that we win during the regular season, I think a failure to identify those things and work on those things throughout the season is part of why you ended up getting bounced in the first round.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the great work.
I love you all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.